We're reading today from First Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 5, entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 23. Please repeat responsibly. Aham Puratita Bhaveva Vammune.
Aham Puratita Bhaveva Vammune.
Dasya Stokasya Veda Vidina. Nirupito Bhagavad Yogina. Sushrushane Pravishi Nirvikshatam.
Sushrushane Pravishi Nirvikshatam.
Word by word translation. Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Pura,
pura,
formerly,
formerly,
Atithabhave,
Atithabhave,
in the previous millennium,
in the previous millennium,
Abhavan,
Abhavan,
became,
became,
Mune,
Mune,
Omuni,
Omuni,
Dasyaha,
Dasyaha,
the maidservant,
the maidservant,
to
Bhakti's
heart, Kasyashchana,
Kasyashchana,
servant, Vedavadina,
Vedavadina,
of the fourth Vedanta,
of the followers of the Vedanta.
Nirupitaha,
Nirupita,
engaged,
engaged.
Balaka,
Balaka,
boy servant,
boy servant.
Eva,
Eva,
only,
only.
Yogina,
Yogina,
of the devotees,
of the devotees.
Sushrusha, sorry. Sushrushane,
Sushrushane,
in the service of,
in the service of,
Pravrishi,
Pravrishi,
during the 4 months of the rainy season,
during the 4 months of the rainy season,
Nirvikshatam,
Nirvikshatam,
living together,
living together.
Translation, proffered by His Divine Grace, His co-founder, Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada
Ki.
Om Muni. In the last millennium I was born as the son of certain maidservants engaged in the service of Brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Please repeat this possibly. Om Muni.
Om Muni.
In the last millennium,
in the last millennium,
I was born.
I was born
as the son of a certain maidservant.
As the son of a certain maidservant.
Engaged in the service of Brahmanas.
Engaged in the service of Brahmanas.
Who were following the principles of Vedanta.
Who were following the principles of Vedanta.
When they were living together,
when they were living together,
during the 4 months,
during the 4 months
of the rainy season,
of the rainy season,
I was engaged in their personal service.
I was engaged in their personal service.
Perfect. The wonder and atmosphere surcharged with devotional service to the Lord is briefly described here by Shri Narada Muni. He was the son of the most insignificant parentage. He was not properly educated. Still, because his complete energy was engaged in the service of the Lord, he became an immortal sage. Such is the powerful action of devotional service. The living entities are the marginal energy of the Lord, and therefore they are meant for being properly utilized in transcendental loving service of the Lord. When this is not done, one situation is called Maya. Therefore, the illusion of Maya is at once dissipated as soon as one's full energy is converted in the service of the Lord instead of sense enjoyment. From the personal example of Srila Narada Muni in his previous work, it is clear that the service of the Lord begins with the service of the Lord's modified servants. The Lord says that the service of His servants is greater than His personal service. Service of the devotee is more valuable than the service of the Lord. Why should therefore choose a modified servant of the Lord, constantly engaged in His service? Accept such a servant as the spiritual master and engage yourself in His, the spiritual master's service. Such a spiritual master is the transparent medium by which to visualize the Lord, who is beyond the conception of the material senses. By service of the modified spiritual master, the Lord consents to reveal himself in proportion to the service rendered. Utilization of human energy in the service of the Lord is the progressive path of salvation. The whole cosmic creation becomes at once identical with the Lord as soon as service in relation with the Lord is rendered under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. The expert spiritual master knows the art of utilizing everything to glorify the Lord, and therefore under his guidance the whole world can be turned into spiritual abode by the divine grace of the Lord's servant. Om Manina Tibirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Jakshura Mirita Vrindatasvai Shivurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Vishnam Sthapitam Vim Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamuhya Dadati Swam Rupalantikam He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Vikatanta Radhakanta Namostase Aptakanchana Kauravi Rajani Vrindavaneshwari Vishnu Sutrihi Pranamami Hari Panchakalpa Gurubhyascha Vipraram Sundrubhyascha Satyavidyam Bhavanibhyo Harishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we are very fortunate to be amongst all of you again. Also very fortunate to be given the opportunity to share some humble realizations on the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today's verse is very much encouraging the principle of sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, and also bhajana kriya, executing devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And then the purport of Srila Prabhupada explains the effects of such service, how special is service to Vaishnavas and service to the bona fide spiritual master. So in this particular verse, a very famous verse, Prabhupada quotes it many times, we are learning how Narada Muni, who is actually a transcendental divine sage, who is free of the control of the material energy completely, he has the power to travel whatever he wants to, practically in his will. He's faster than any material technology that may be existing at the moment, or perhaps technology that will be developed in the future. The moon is moving with the speed of mind because he is completely empowered by the internal potency of the Lord. Perhaps he is faster than the speed of mind because mind is a material element. So, Narada Muni was an ordinary boy who happened to have the great opportunity to be in the association of some devotees, Brahmanas, who were actually pure devotees. And over the rainy season, the period of the rainy season, they were staying together. They took shelter of the residence of his mother. They were perhaps on pilgrimage, traveling, and they got kind of caught by the weather, the rainy season, so decided to stay home. And in this particular situation, this little boy was fortunate enough to was engaged in the service of these great devotees. So the result is immediately visible. In the next life he became actually Narada Muni. And it's not that only he can travel in the material world, he also has the access to the spiritual world, and he can just travel everywhere. He constantly glorifies the Lord. This is one of the characteristics of Narada Muni, which is Vina. And Prabhupada called him the transcendental cosmonaut, transcendental astronaut, because he can travel everywhere. So this is quite an amazing boon for performing service in association of some devotees. It's quite an amazing boon, but the fact is that devotional service is so powerful that anyone that executes devotional service under the guidance of devotees, he immediately becomes liberated from the material energy. At the moment, being in this material world, we are oppressed by the material energy in many different ways, by the influence of Adibodhi, Kali, Devi, Kali, Amik, the different influences that make the living entity in this world suffer. And of course the three modes of material nature are like chains, the iron chain, the silver chain, and the golden chain. So we can observe actually by studying the Bhagavatam that this information is very factual. You can see how someone can behave in a mode of ignorance, someone can behave in a mode of passion, someone can behave in a mode of goodness. So by studying actually Srimad Bhagavatam, we can observe all these details, scientific details that pertain to the nature of this material energy, and we can understand that the message or the knowledge that is given in the scriptures is the most perfect knowledge we have ever heard or received. The knowledge of modern science, however advanced, is completely incapable to liberate anyone from the three modes of material nature, because the knowledge of modern science ends with investigating simply the material energy. They do not know, the scientists cannot comprehend through their dull senses, that the material energy is just an aspect of an energetic, the source, who is actually a transcendental, divine, supernatural personality. Supernatural, it's got nothing to do with this material world. So, by missing such a big chunk of information and investigating some little bit of information, knowing the existence of the material energy, the attempts of any scientist will be baffled to understand reality. So, therefore, such science is, could be, we can conclude that such science is actually poison in science, but actually just ignorance of the fact that energy is part of the unlimited potency of one supreme energetic. So that kind of science, that kind of knowledge cannot liberate anyone from this world. because this science reinforces one's illusion of Maya. Prabhupada is saying here in the service, in the proverb, that when this is not done, one situation is called Maya. So when one is not engaged in the service of the Lord, one becomes engaged in Maya, in the service of the illusory energy. When science encourages humanity or people to gratify their senses, when science encourages atheistic worldview by saying there is no God, everything is just this energy, automatically they are not only not liberating them, but they are helping the people to become enslaved more and more under the three modes of material nature. And in that way, instead of being liberated and happy and so on and so forth, is actually the opposite. This world is filled with tremendous experience of suffering. So, therefore Vedanta is the solution. The knowledge that comes from disciplic succession, Chaturbrahman. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasa Chahamani Desani Vistro, Atasmatir Ginana Bhavancha, Vedaishya Sarvair, Mahaviva Vidyu, Vedanta Kritya Veda Vidya Vacha. Krishna tells Arjuna that I am the knower of the Vedas, I am the source of the Vedas, and the compiler of the Vedas. So, everyone that wants to really understand the message of the Vedas, they have to understand that the Vedas are trying to bring everyone to me. That the Vedas are just pointing towards Krishna. And this is really Vedanta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta means the end of knowledge. And the end of knowledge is understanding that the source of everything is the Supreme Conscious Being and not some impersonal material energy. As the scientists, modern science is actually concluding. So, by being educated in a usual way that there is no God and therefore, there is no need of religion or spirituality or yoga, people get engaged in selfishness. They may serve others simply for some rewards, material rewards, and they believe that these material rewards will bring them happiness. They serve more powerful person than themselves. Everyone is looking for another powerful person to serve in this world. And they think, if I serve this person, I'll get that and I'll become happy. This is the kind of a materialistic, rational mentality. And we become engaged in illusory activities. And illusory because it promises happiness, not service, but it brings misery or some temporary happiness. And also it promises liberation, but actually it brings more bondage, because we become attached to the fruit of our action, then we become even more bound and more dependent on the person who actually gave us that fruit. We become dependent, we become attached, we become confused, we become temporarily elated, and whenever there is some misery, we are hoping that next time I will just try to do my best to enjoy better. And perhaps I have to change my mode of enjoyment. Maybe this is not good, but that type of enjoyment will be good. So basically the whole lifestyle of one becomes consumed by materialistic, selfish thoughts. But on the other hand, when one associates with devotees, those who understand the essence of life, that behind this material energy, Bahirangi Shakti, is the supreme conscious entity, the supreme person, Krishna, the most attractive entity, they immediately become engaged in the service to Krishna. Because such intellectuals or such intelligent evolved beings, they realize that their position in relation to the energetic is subservient. They realize that the real boss is the energetic rather than my employer or something like that, or my wife or my husband, my child. Sometimes people become, their child becomes their boss. So they realize that my real boss is actually the source of everything, and since the source of everything is the person, the conscious entity, and if everything emanates from that source, that means I have also emanated from that source. And if I am part of that source and part of that energy of the source, of that person, then that means that I have to serve that source, because I am the part. And the part is meant to serve the whole. So in that way, through association with devotees, once intelligence becomes purified and he or she begins to understand that I am really not a servant of anyone else, but I am a servant of Krishna, of the Supreme Person. And then there is a tremendous, amazing consequence that happens due to that realization. One becomes involved in devotional service, and one transcends immediately the three modes of material nature. One becomes completely liberated from attachment, aversion, hankering, lamenting, because one realizes that there is nothing to gain in this world, there is nothing to lose, because nothing belongs to us. And in both cases, gaining and losing, it is just illusion, because nothing really belongs to us. So one becomes liberated from selfishness, one acts simply for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one becomes liberated from these entanglements, these attachments. And also the second boon or benefit is that one becomes ecstatic. Anandam Bhutibhavanam. And that ecstasy that one experiences in the relationship of devotional service to Krishna, he is not only static, ecstatic, but is also ever expanding and ever fresh. So this is another boon of benediction that comes with performance of devotional service. Liberation, and then ever fresh, ever expanding ecstasy. In the material world, when we perform material activities, I said already, we become bound, and then whatever ecstasy we experience, it's always temporary and it's ever diminishing. But in the spiritual dimension, the happiness is eternal and it's ever expanding. So, what's the proof of that? One who is engaged in devotional service, he actually lives in the inner world, the divine world. He's no longer living in an external world. The person who is engaged in the service of Maya, he only tries to gratify his senses, and that is called the outer world, the external world. And you can never become satisfied and happy, because the nature of this world is that your happiness is always crushed by misery. You can never just have happiness in the outer world, in the external world. It's always going to be crushed by some misery or other. So, there is something very special about this inner world. When we become connected to Krishna, to the transcendental personality of Godhead, even if everything goes wrong in the outer world, if there is illness that comes upon you, if there is disasters, natural disasters that may cause so much havoc, destroy your home or whatever, so many things may happen. Or if other people are insulting you verbally or physically or whatever, you don't experience any misery. Why? Because you're connected to Krishna. Krishna doesn't suffer from Adidevi Kali Bhakti Kali Adik because he's a chudra, he's infallible, he's transcendental to these material reactions. Krishna doesn't suffer by the harassment of other living entities because he is the Supreme Purusha. No one can harass Krishna. Krishna does not get sick, therefore no adhyatmic for him. He does not get sick. He does not have psychological problems. Krishna does not suffer from earthquakes or floods in the spiritual world because in that world there is no karma, no material activities or selfish activities. It's transcendental, and like I mentioned, Krishna never suffers from harassment of another person. So when the devotee connects to Krishna, he or she in devotional service, you enter into the inner divine world. And that inner world in the service to Krishna makes you so satisfied, so fulfilled, so ecstatic internally, that even if the whole world falls apart, you will still be alright and peaceful and satisfied and in ecstasy. And in fact that ecstasy increases more and more and more. You can only understand this mysticism in association of Bhaktivedantas. You cannot understand this in any other way because our intellect is limited, our senses are limited. Western science or whatever modern science with its latest technology can only, if it's taken in its proper context, it can only enhance the understanding of existence of divine personality. But of course, if the scientists are not taking it seriously, all this evidence that is there in modern scientific research, if they have other agendas or if they want to cheat and just keep the people ignorant, then they will ignore even the scientific facts that there is something special, something supernatural about this world, about the energy, about our body, about everything that we see with our eyes. It's so mystical. So, we should never minimize the association of devotees, even it can be a short association, but we should always take advantage of the association of devotees, because in that association and by the service rendered to the devotees we make advancement. And Prabhupada here states in the purport, one should therefore choose a bona fide servant of the Lord, constantly engage in service, accept such servant as the spiritual master and engage himself in the spiritual master's service. So what is so special about the devotees is that the devotees are actually transcendent by a medium for the Lord. They are so purified. They are completely resembling the Lord. When you meet a devotee, a pure devotee, he or she may behave just like the Lord will behave. And how does the Lord behave? He always relate to others on the platform of love and compassion and care. This is Krishna. Krishna is not some angry, hateful, jealous God that is trying to force everyone or torture everyone if they don't follow his will or something like that. No. Krishna is actually the epitome of love, the embodiment of love. So a devotee of Krishna is exactly like that. And therefore when we are still in a very neophyte stages of devotional service, when we come in contact with more advanced personalities, they are just there and via medium. In that way we learn more and more about our own relationship with Krishna. And in that service to that devotee, we become more and more purified, and our own relationship with Krishna becomes revived. And we enter into the inner divine realm of transcendental, loving, devotional service. By doing this, immediately we become liberated. We immediately experience this fulfillment, this ecstasy that you could never find and experience in traversing the whole material world and experiencing everything that the material energy can offer. And that experience gives you the greatest faith and the greatest conviction that this is what I was looking for, this is what everyone is looking for. And in that way, from neophyte stage one moves to a more advanced stage where he or she becomes involved in preaching because they want to help others get that nectar. And now in this month of December, the book distribution is an opportunity to offer people tickets to the inner world, the world of the heart, the world of our relationship with the Divine Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who is the well-wisher of all living entities and is constantly eager to reclaim all of us back to the spiritual world. So those of you who are going out today, please try to remember that this is the greatest service you can do to humanity. You are giving them that what they are looking for, that liberation that they cannot find in material existence, and that ecstasy, that happiness in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those of you who are not going on book distribution, going to work or something, maybe you should take one book with you, and maybe while at work you can distribute it to someone, so in that way that person also can be benefited. Take some questions here or comments. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki. One should spread this message everywhere. Give these instructions of Lord Krishna, definitely. It's a tremendous opportunity here to do that. I'm thinking how some people are locked from the mercy. Here in Australia, there is many people in Sweden, you can go approach any person, but they are locked. They will say, no, I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. So we should pray for these people. My dear Lord, please kindly unlock this soul because he is completely bewildered. And there is other places where people take birth, like in the Middle Eastern region where Islamic religion is dominant. They're not allowed to look at anything else. So it's their misfortune also. Because even today, hardly anyone practices genuine Islam. And so people, by reading Prabhupada's books, they can become real Muslims, actually. Prabhupada said that my books can help anyone become better wherever they are already, because every bona fide book like the Quran or the Bible or any other book is in essence teaching the same devotional service, but because there is no proper discipline succession, people are misled. They think that religion is about accumulation of material goods or trying to be happy in the material world via the religious way. The goal of life is really to make Krishna happy, and because Krishna is happy, we become happy immediately. This is the Ananda Bodhivarna, ever increasing ocean of ecstasy. When Krishna is pleased, we become ecstatic. So we should give this secret information to everyone. My dear sir, you should please Krishna and you become immediately happy because you are part of him. You should go and tell them today. Like that. Yes?
Just now Jaipur was here and he advised on the distribution food, you should try to see beyond the body, like to the super soul, to like try to come to the soul, and like the kingdom to the soul. How do you
reach the soul and kind of don't look at the external?
Want to appeal to the soul, try to see a little bit beyond the body.
Okay.
How would you
consider that? Well, first of all, we always have to remember that we are not the doer. We are just an instrument of Krishna, and when the book is distributed, it is really distributed by Krishna. So, how does this help? How does this knowledge help? Well, it helps by making us humble and allowing us to move out of the way, or move the false ego out of the way, so that Krishna can distribute the book. So, basically, we just have to keep trying to approach people. In fact, if you are approaching people with these books, that's already a sign that you are addressing the soul. Because just by trying to reach someone and say, "Hi sir," or "Hi madam," "How are you?" and that means you're already seeing a soul. You know? Because if you did not see a soul, why would you go to speak to that person? So you already have seen the soul, but we have to be very much dependent on the super soul to get them reciprocate with us. So in other words, we have to be kind of humble and just pray to the Lord, "My dear Lord, please use me as you wish. Put the words that must come out for that person to hear, put them in my mouth, and you know, please help me to know how to deal with this person or that person." So in that way, the more we are conscious of Krishna, the more our speech becomes empowered. And then we say the things that they exactly needed to hear. And again, you must know that even if you say some perfect things, some people will still reject it, because they are trying to avoid, they are kind of locked up still due to their own desire. So they are still locked up. So, seeing the soul means that you try to approach everyone. And basically, if you see, okay, this guy looks poor, maybe not going to take the book, then I guess that is seeing the body, you know, not the soul. But if you approach someone, that means you're seeing the soul. But if you become selective, you know, sometimes you may think, you know, this person is a soul and this one is a body, so the body will not buy what the soul will buy. But actually, everyone is a soul, so we don't know how the person reciprocates. When I go on books, I approach everyone without any kind of discrimination. And you never know how they respond. Sometimes a very, very poor person, almost the person looks like they are totally uneducated, they may give a donation. I'll never forget how I distributed my first book in South Africa in 99 or something like that. 99, I think. I was in book distribution and I traveled the whole day, approached maybe hundreds of people and nobody would take a book. So I was so fired up, but nobody would take a book. And then towards the end of the day, I just kept going. I was thinking, someone has to take this one book at least. I was approaching person after person, person after person, and everyone was saying no. So it was probably almost time for all the devotees to leave. And then there was this elderly African lady. It looked like she may not even know English on the external level, because some people in Africa, they speak very, very little. So I thought, if I give her this book, what will she understand, And maybe she's just a simple lady, she may be employed as a housemaid or servant somewhere, she may not even have money. My mind was saying like this. But I said, no, she's a soul, she's Krishna's child, I have to approach her. So I went to her. And I told the man, please take one of these books. She looked at it, why is this? And I said, this book's about God. Because African people are very religious. She said, how much? And I said, 10 rand, South African currency. She said, I'll take it. She immediately opened the door and she gave me the money. She took the book and went away. So that was the first book in my whole life. So it was such a powerful lesson for me not to be judgmental. And try to see the soul everywhere. That person may look like a poor person and maybe uneducated. You never know how they respond. Is that okay? Okay, I think we have more time. So, Gantara Chima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhagavatam Ki Jai.